Isaiah 41, verses 10 to 13 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who rage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Last week, I was asked the question, what does it mean when God holds my right hand? In ancient writing, the right hand represented someone's ultimate strength and power. In the case of David, the sense that God was at his right hand was a feeling of confidence. Along the same lines, David has identified the Lord as his guide, Psalm 16, verse 7. Now, he identifies God as his guard. Let me get you to use your imaginations for a moment. If you imagine I am God, and Jen here is you. If I take Jen's right hand, as such, you can see I take it with my left hand, which therefore, as God, leaves my right hand to fight your battles and to take care of you. So when God holds your right hand, he is taking complete care of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can hold on to the promise in Isaiah 41, verse 13. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. We ask that you remind us of this every day. Open our hearts and minds today to what you would say to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand as you're able and join us as we sing 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. Time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name.
I don't have any notices today, but I believe Shelley would like to say something regarding last week's The Chosen.
Yes, that's right. Hi, everybody. Good to see you all here today. Last week, on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, some of us met in the old library room and watched the first episode of The Chosen. You can join us this afternoon for the second episode. We can send you the link online so you can watch the first one and any others you want to miss or have to miss along the way. So this is open to everybody, even if you didn't come to the first one. There were 11 of us, and we had a good time together and a good time thinking about how Jesus changes people. So I look forward to this afternoon very much.
Just stay there, Shelley, because all the other notices will be in the grapevine. So if you'd like to bring your prayers, confession, assurance, please.
Thanks. As you know, our prayer of confession moves around in the service according to where it fits best. And today it's time for our prayer of confession. Let us pray. Holy God, help us to be honest before you in our confession. Though you have held us in love from the moment of our birth, we confess that there are times when we close you out, times when we trust in our own capacity and strength rather than seeking your guidance and following your ways. Forgive us, Lord, for only turning to you when we have run out of our own resources, when our resilience wanes, and when we fear for our future. Loving God, we acknowledge that there are times when we doubt your providential care, times when we lose sight of your infinite goodness, and times when we hoard what we own rather than sharing what we have with others. So often we lose sight of your kindness and we cling to what we have in greed. Help us to trust your sacred presence in all things and to be content with your covenantal promises. Search us, O God, and place within us a humble spirit, that our whole being might be alive with the joy of your goodness. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. And our words of assurance: God's forgiveness is offered to all. The promise of Christ is that we can live freely and we can live forgiven through his saving grace. So we can be assured our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So just before we go into our offering, I probably should not be rude and not say good morning. So good morning and
good morning.
Welcome to Worship at the Vines, whether you're here in the building or whether you're watching us live or later on during the week. And we just ask that this service will help you improve your relationship with Christ and with God and bring you closer to him.
I think the prayers of intercession are next before the offering.
Irene, can you bring the prayers of intercession, thanks.
And good morning from me too.
Good morning.
How's everybody? Good?
Yeah.
I would like today to take us back into our history as Christians, and prior to that, our relationship with God that Adrian alluded to in his introduction. We go back to David and Isaac and all the various people who lived prior to the arrival of Christ. And I'm going to talk about that in the prayer today. Hope you enjoy it. Let us pray. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This gospel verse is the cornerstone upon which we base our faith and the truth upon which we live our lives. We ask for your understanding when we fall short of your blessings and err in our relationships and our conduct. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to the apostles, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you," look not at our sins, but our faith in the church, and grant unto it peace and unity. Please forgive our lapses and guide us to return wholeheartedly to your teachings. We all know that there are many challenges in our world, both in our own country and those abroad. As we ponder these problems, it helps to look back into our own history for inspiration and confirmation. The words of that time are slightly different to our own now as language evolves, but the meaning is the same. So I'm going to take you back to the 1200s and recall the peace prayer of St. Francis of Assisi when he urged the faithful of his time. He said, "Lord, make me a channel of your peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, where there is discord, I may bring harmony, where there is error, I may bring truth, where there is doubt, I may bring faith, where there is despair, I might bring hope, where there is shadows, I may bring light, and where there is sadness, I may bring joy." That is exactly what we need today. And he continued to say, "Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand rather than to be understood, to love when there is need, for it is by forgetting ourselves that it is forgiving that one is forgiven, and it is by dying that one awakes to eternal life." His work with the Franciscans showed that to the world. Secondly, it is my joy to remember your very special servant in our own last century. She lived to serve the poor, and you would know her as St. Teresa of Calcutta. She took up your cross She followed your teachings and now abides with you, and her work continues through her missionaries of charity. I'd like to bring to you her morning prayer she did every day, as it is very relevant to our lives today. Lord, in the silence of this new day, I come to ask for peace, wisdom, and strength. Today, I wish to look at the world with eyes beaming with love, to be understanding, meek, and wise, to see your children beyond their appearances as you see them yourself. Close my ears to all calumny. Guard my tongue from all malice. My only thoughts that bless dwell in my spirit. May I be so kind and so full of joy that all who come near me feel your presence. Clothe me with your beauty, Lord, that throughout this day I may reveal you. Amen. Amen. Now, as we collectively recite the prayer that Jesus left us, may we be remembering St. Teresa and St. Francis and the calling to love and sacrifice contained in their prayers. It becomes our challenge to implement God's will to those very best of our abilities. Please join with me now as we recite his prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, hear our prayers.
Hear our prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
Before we go on, is everybody warm enough? No? You want the air conditioning left on?
Yes.
Okay. I was just wondering, I'm starting to feel a bit warm. I just wondered whether it was getting too. We're just going to go into a time of offering. And as we do, we're going to sing Give Thanks. Please remain seated, and if the offering steward could please bring the offering forward when I get the congregation to stand. Thank you.
Give thanks to the Lord. given, Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all you have given us. This is only a token that we offer back to you, Lord, but we offer it with thanksgiving and praise. Thank you that we have the ability to contribute financially to the work of this church and the wider work we do in the community. Thank you that we can give groceries, which then as a church we can give to those in need. Thank you, Lord, for all you have given to us. And with these offerings today, Lord, we not only dedicate the groceries and the money that was given during the week online, but Lord, we dedicate ourselves, our very lives to you and to your service. Thank you that we can do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church family.
Morning, Wendy.
Our first reading today comes from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 to 44, Feeding of 100. A man came from Baal Shalishah, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe corn, along with some ears of new corn. Give it to the people to eat, Elisha said. How can I set this before 100 men? His servant asked. But Elisha answered, give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over. Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. And the second reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. Jesus feeds the 5,000. When Jesus had heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said, and he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to the heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Did any of you know that story from 2 Kings, the first reading that we had? Yes, well, thank you, Sue. I only heard that story for the first time a couple of years ago. Wendy only heard it when she had to read it today, and I'm quite sure that most of us have never heard it. I'm not preaching on that. I'm preaching on the feeding of the 5,000. But the disciples, I reckon, would have known that story from the Hebrew Bible, from the second book of Kings. There wasn't enough food. There was only 20 loaves of barley bread for 100 men. But Elisha prophesied, this is what the Lord says, they will eat and have some left over. That's abundance, isn't it? So I wonder if the disciples remembered that story as they were gathering up the 12 baskets of bread left over. And the actual sums, Matthew tells us, they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up how many?
12
basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. 12, the number of completeness, the number of the tribes of Israel, the number of the disciples. Those 12 disciples who didn't know how the people were going to be fed. The disciples who watched incredulously as the food multiplied before their very eyes. They could each eat a whole basket full of bread if they wanted now. Our God is the God of miraculous provision. He gives more than enough. He gives more than we could ask or ever hope for. As Paul says in Ephesians 3, 20-21, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The disciples followed Jesus. They listened to him. They puzzled over his parables, the stories he used to make his points. They tried to make sense of some of his more obscure utterances. They loved him. They gave up so much for him, didn't they? Family life, employment, their standing in the community even. And yet they still remained unaware of the extent of his power. In every situation, it seems, they were surprised by his actions. When he calmed the storm, they were stunned. When he healed the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years, they were perplexed and amazed. And now, with 5 loaves and 2 little fish, he feeds 5,000 men. Now, in the Gospel of John, it doesn't mention women and children, and it's the same for Mark and Luke, 5,000 men only. But in Matthew's account of the same story, he says about 5,000 men were fed in addition to women and children. Well, I'm really quite tired of being a woman who's being discounted all the time, but obviously I reckon that at least doubles the number, don't you? Possibly even triples it. How is it even possible that Jesus can perform such a miracle against all the laws of nature? Now, before I go on, I want to say that this is the only miracle that is mentioned in all 4 Gospels, the only one. Now, in many instances, a certain miracle is mentioned in 2 different Gospels, and in many instances, in 3 different Gospels. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only one mentioned in all 4 Gospels. So clearly, this is a story of enormous significance to all 4 Gospel writers. It had stuck in the memories of the eyewitnesses, and the story had been repeated too often by too many for it not to have made it into every gospel. A very high point in the ministry of Jesus, a supernatural miracle that had to be seen to be believed, perhaps. Many people nowadays believe it was not that sort of supernatural miracle. I was brought up believing that Jesus could do the supernatural. So it was no problem believing that he did this. After all, if he's God, surely we believe God can do the supernatural. He created the natural, and he's in control, and he can break the natural order if he requires it. But for those of you who have trouble believing in this sort of miracle, here is a really different Christian perspective. You don't have to agree with it, but you might be interested. In this book, which I had when I was studying, I finished 6 years ago, so it's probably about 7 years ago. In this book, it's called How God Acts, and it's by Dennis Edwards, a theologian. The author discusses this, and he concludes that God has chosen to act within the natural created order. And think about this. After all, if God went against the natural order every time someone asked him to intervene, the very nature of everything would break down. It's not plausible that God would wonderfully and miraculously create the world and everything in it and then choose to override the way he'd set it up. No, God works within the creative order. And Edwards quotes another theologian, Meyer, saying, this is interesting, I don't agree with it, but it's interesting. Walking on water which happened in one of the Gospels immediately after this, the walking on water is a narrative comment on the feeding of the 5,000, which symbolises the Eucharistic experience of the early Christians. What he's suggesting is that to a small church struggling in the night of a hostile world and feeling bereft of Christ's presence, the walking on the water likewise symbolised the experience of Christ in the Eucharist. Feels a bit far-fetched, doesn't it? The Eucharist is the feeding of the 5,000. The walking on the water may have happened afterwards, but does that symbolise the... I don't know. But he goes on, Edwards goes on to say, in the gospel tradition, the miracles of Jesus function as signs and mediations of the coming reign of Christ. Clearly. They are presented not as the reports of detached observers, but as the testimony of believers. Well, that's all very well. And there may be even some of you who believe the stories are to be taken as metaphors, where one thing stands for another, where a deeper truth is revealed in a simple fictional account. And it may be that for some of you, that is part of the mystery and wonder that surrounds the stories of Jesus. And maybe it only adds to your faith in a loving and all-powerful God who works through the natural world that God has created and that God continues to sustain. But this story speaks to those of us who read it and take it literally too. It speaks of God's love and care and concern for each one of us, hungry as we are for food or love or justice. God is able to fulfill all our needs and is able to provide for us abundantly, with so much abundance that there's lots left over. Now, in his account of the same event, Mark mentions the little boy. Did you notice we didn't have the little boy in today's? Yeah, Mark is the one who mentions the little boy who was actually prepared. His mother had given him a picnic basket, and that little boy was moved to share his lunch. Which gets you thinking, what about all of the other children and the other mothers who were there? Surely they'd prepared picnics too. But no one else was prepared to share. So this is what another commentator says about that. You can tell I've done my homework for this one. 5 loaves and 2 fish, 5,000 people, you do the maths. Yet what seems impossible is not a challenge for God. The people of the Exodus discovered that water from the rock, manna from the sky, was not God's providence always enough. In the case of the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, it might well have been a miracle of the heart as much as a multiplication of food items by Jesus. Was the food already present, hoarded and hidden by selfish listeners? That possibility fits our secular minds, but it misses the point. This miracle is a sign. It declares what John had already prophesied in his prologue, that Jesus was the Word and that the Word was there at creation. Is it more impossible to believe that the crowd was fed or that the Creator was there in the person of Jesus? These are kind of heavy points, aren't they, to start thinking about? But it's a fair point. Maybe there was enough food and no one wanted to share. Maybe the unselfish action of one little boy and Jesus' grateful acceptance of that one gift, taking the loaves and fish and giving thanks for them, was enough to open the hearts and the picnic baskets of all of the other thousands of people sitting on the grass. Now that is a miracle. Once selfish people, hoarding their own wealth, now openly and generously sharing so that all could have enough, kind of sounds like God at work. That brings me to another thought. Every so often on TV, when I see people who are starving, and actually quite often now on Facebook, when I see posts about people in war-torn countries, people who have no home, people who not generally provide miracles by divine intervention to help the hungry and the homeless on a massive scale. But he has provided us, all of us, who live so comfortably with the means to share what we have with others, to give, to share, to work for justice, to care, to be as free with the bounty that God gives us as he was bountiful in sharing it with us and he continues to be bountiful in sharing it with us. So, feeding the hungry is an issue of love. How can we eat when others are starving? God asks us to share what we have been given. There is enough to go around, and there will be lots left over. That brings me to another point, though. Feeding the spiritually hungry is also an issue of love. Our world is spiritually starving. How can we help feed them? In an anything-goes culture, where no one wants to force their beliefs on anyone else, we might think, what right do we have to speak into the spiritual emptiness all around us? Well, let's look at this another way. What right do we have to withhold the bread of life from those who are spiritually hungry? If we have words of hope, we have words of hope, love, peace, joy, the life and the fullness that we have found in Christ, we are not to clutch that hope to ourselves. We need to have the words to be able to offer hope, to be able to offer nourishment to those who are spiritually starving, to be able to offer the water of life to those who are spiritually thirsty. We do not clutch our knowledge of God's goodness to ourselves, but we share it freely. In the same way we are to share our material goods with others. Jesus says in Luke 12:48, much is required from the person to whom much has been given. Much more is required from the person to whom much more is given. I think here in Australia, we come into that second category. Or, as Uncle Ben said to Peter Parker about his role as Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. We hold the key to world hunger, to world poverty, to world war. We have the responsibility to share what we have been given, both physically and spiritually, with all who hunger. Bread was a staple food in the time of Jesus. Jesus said that he is the very bread of life. He provides us with all we need. His care and love sustain us and fit us for our work in his world. Let's remember that today as we take bread into our own bodies. He is the bread of life, and we are nourished by his presence. And may we be like that little boy from the Gospel of Mark, there among the 5,000, 10,000, 15,000. May we be like that little boy, full of faith, overflowing in generosity, who gave away his lunch, only to find that through God's miraculous love, his gift had led to thousands being blessed. For God's abundance, thanks be to God. Amen.
As we prepare for communion this morning, we're going to sing a relatively new song, and one that I believe we may have sung here before, but it was a while ago. It is an easy song, and a bit of history about this hymn. In 1865, 45-year-old choir member Elvina Hall sat in the loft of Monument Street Methodist Church in Baltimore. During a long pastoral prayer, her mind focused on Christ's sacrifice. With no paper handy, she wrote her poem on the blank flyleaf of the hymnal. She showed the words to her pastor, Reverend George Schrick. Coincidentally, the church organist, John Grape, had just written a new musical tune and needed lyrics. The words and music fit together without any changes. They shared the song with Professor Theodore Perkins, who published it in his periodical Sabbath Carols. Please remain seated as we sing this, and join in when you feel comfortable, or alternatively, just sit and pray these words as we enter this time of Holy Communion.
I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small, child of of weakness watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. And stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he was He washed it white as snow.
We come now to our time of communion. And before we start, I would just say communion is open to all who want to follow the Lord Jesus, regardless of your Christian denomination and your background. If you want to follow Jesus, he instituted this supper and made everyone welcome, and in the same way, it's not ours to turn anyone away. We have gluten-free wafers in the middle of each tray of bread. We have non-alcoholic grape juice so that all may partake. And at the time you'll be served the bread first, please hold on to the bread and then we'll eat it all together. Then you'll be served the wine, please hold on to the wine and we'll drink that all together. Our communion service. In every age, Christ, the compassionate healer, calls all people to hear the gospel, to celebrate the sacraments of the new covenant, and to build one another up in faith and in hope and in love. And so, my friends, as Jesus shared meals in many different places with many different people, including on one occasion maybe 15,000 people on a hillside, making these ordinary things in life, the bread and the wine, extraordinary by his great love and acceptance, we too will share a meal today in memory of him. The peace of the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
And so we praise you, loving God, with the faithful of every time and place, thanking you that you are not a distant God, but one who communicates to your people anew, speaking words of compassion, love, and forgiveness for reconciliation and healing. Therefore, together with our loved ones who have gone before us and those who have sought you in every time and generation, we join in saying the eternal hymn of thanksgiving said by all nations on earth. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So we hear the words of this sacrament as recorded by the Apostle Paul, who wrote, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" I wonder how many of them remembered the feeding of the 5,000 at that point. After supper, in the same way, he took the cup and offered it to them, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it for the remembrance of me." Jesus gave himself so that we may know that God's love is stronger than evil and God's love is stronger than death, for God's love is eternal. As we eat the bread of new life and drink from the cup of compassion, we too share in the saving death of Jesus Christ and in his resurrection to eternal life and in his promise to be with us forevermore. Let us pray. Loving God, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, may this meal become holy and your people become one. Unite us in faith, inspire us to love, encourage us with hope that we may nourish the life of Christ that is within each one of us. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup we take is a sharing in the lifeblood of Christ. May we receive this holy sacrament with thankful hearts through Jesus, our Saviour and our Redeemer. Amen. If the service could come forward, please. Please retain the bread and we will eat together once we all have been served in the body of Christ. Amen. Let us be nourished by eating the bread of new life. As we drink this cup of compassion and salvation, let us take into us the life-giving blood of Christ. Let us drink together. Let's pray. God of all mercies, for your gifts of healing and forgiveness, for grace to love and care for one another in this church, in this community, in this your world, and for your hidden blessings, O Lord, we give you thanks through our beloved Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. You might know this song as "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." All of the more modern hymn books have "O Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer." That's what we're going to sing today. And another time, probably next week, I'll explain why the change.
So please stand as we sing the last song, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer."
Guide me, O Thou Great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and nevermore. Strong deliverer, strength and shield, strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fear subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee, give to thee, I will ever give to thee.
God invites us into mission with Christ to feed those who are hungry, to seek the lost, to restore that which is broken, and to declare that God loves all people. Let us go empowered by the Spirit, filled with the knowledge that restoration and reconciliation are always possible. Let us go to declare the justice and truth of Christ, sustained by the eternal love and grace of God. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
Our God is an awesome God, He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God, He reigns from heaven.
Sat with her for a good 5 minutes.
From heaven.